It's another Saturday morning in CCO land when we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Good morning, Ted.
Morning, Danny. How are you today?
I'm just getting all the layers ready for the next few days of clothing, that is. And I don't know as if I'll be grilling. Maybe. But I kind of doubt it.
Oh, come on. There's that old Norwegian proverb. There's no such thing as cold weather, just cold clothes.
Just bad clothes. Remember Roger Erickson saying that all the time. But, yeah, we'll get through it. It's just, two, 3 days. We'll get through it. But what are we going to be chatting about this morning?
Well, you know, if there is an area in Europe that knows how to deal with the cold, it's an area called Piedmont. Or, you know, if you get a little Italian, Piedmonte. But it's literally of the word nebbious, which is a kind of a fog. And so usually when they harvested those grapes, there was also a lot of fog and cloudy and kind of dismal time. But it's a Nebbiolo grape. It's very, very similar, believe it or not, in style and finesse to a Pinot Noir. But the Nebbiolo grape is such a wonderful grape. A little bit austere. It's a little bit highly tannic. The crazy thing about some of those Barolos, Barbarescos, they can be on the expensive side. Guys like Angelo Gaia and Bruno Giacosa have really worked their entire life since the mid-60s, getting those wines appreciated, getting those wines spread throughout the world. Now, the crazy thing, the wonderful thing about these, they're very, very rich. They're very, very bold. In some cases, you know, Barolos could be aged up to 35, 40 years without a doubt. You can cellar those away. Very tannic, because that tannic structure on the finish gives it that body to last quite a long period of time. But the kind of a movement now, because the Italians are realizing that it's a little bit too long to wait for your wine to mature. They're making some of them a little bit softer, a little bit more approachable. Now, the food and cuisine in this area is kind of, you know, hits the spot on a cold day like today. I mean, we're talking a lot of roasted meats, a lot of stewed meats, but more importantly, a little secret from this neck of the woods, the white truffle comes from this area. Highly prized. They go out there, search, they find it, they use dogs, sometimes they even use pigs to go find these truffles. And so they go dig them up, and they make some of the most wonderful pasta, some of the most wonderful dishes, and that's the kind of stuff that sticks to your ribs. Now, this area in particular, as far as food is concerned as well, believe it or not, was the starting of the thing called the slow food movement. You know, the Italians got all the gas because I believe in the town of Turin, they actually put a McDonald's in, which is fast food. And they're like, this is terrible. We want to show everybody slow food. And if you ever made risotto at home, you know, that's kind of a slow food. It's a long, lingering process where you're sitting there stirring and adding. And, you know, what a beautiful day today to have a little bit of that risotto where you'd sit and you'd stew away and make like a real big, pretty mushroom risotto, very, you know, stick to your ribs kind of thing, and open up some of those Barolos, which are great little wines to have with that. Because, again, that area up there, it's a continental climate, even though the southern portion is close to the Mediterranean, but it's all surrounded by mountains and hilltops. And it's usually those hilltops that are better areas to grow the Nebbiolo grape in the Barolo region. They call it a brico, which means the apex, the top of the mountain or top of the hill. And much like in Burgundy, the further up you go up those hills, the better the wine. It's just due to there's a little bit more stress to the vines. The vines have to work a little bit harder to get down to the water levels and stretch their vines down 9, 10, 15 feet, etc. So those Barolos and Barbarescos are great little bottles of wine. You know, they are on the expensive side. A cheap Barolo could be about $30, $40. We have a Natalie Varga Barolo that's about $35. A little bit on the expensive side, but believe me, some of those other ones can skyrocket. The Gaia wines can easily start out in $150-plus a bottle, but they're well worth it, and it's well worth the experience because on a day like today when it is a little bit chilly, you know, you probably do want to kind of wrap up at home, you know, get that big pot of risotto going, open up some Barolos, but and just kind of look out the window, maybe build a fire and enjoy it. Now, there's some other wines that come from that region as well, that are as expensive. There's another great varietal called Barbera. Now, Barbera is a little bit rounder, a little bit juicier, and that's a fun wine to have as well, especially because that doesn't break the bank. Some of the Barberas generally are about $15 to $8 a bottle of wine, and it's just they're a little bit more approachable. They don't age them as long. You know, in some of the cases with Barolos, there's a mandatory aging of a minimum of 8 months in oak. In some cases, they put for even up to 2 years. So that aging process in those oak barrels give the wine a little bit more fortification, where the Barbera on the other side, a little bit softer, not as much oak exposure. But then again, you lower the price on it because you don't have to invest in barrels and you don't have to invest in the time that it takes to make those great bottles of wine. But again, it's a wonderful area, very scenic and sometimes even forgotten about. You know, everybody hears about Tuscany and down in the Chianti regions and things like that. This, you know, they write books about it where this area is kind of forgotten about. You know, the major town is Turin. I believe they'll be hosting the Olympics coming up in about a year and a half. You know, it's kind of forgotten about because all the other sexier places to go, but it's a true wonder of the world, especially in the wine world, to go up, maybe go up there, and maybe one day, Denny, we'll have a little good neighbor trip over there and go visit the vineyard of Barolo and Barbarescos and try some of that great cuisine.
You know what? I'm packed right now. I'm ready.
Well, everybody is, I think, right now. We're all looking for something to go do and get out of town with.
I'll even schlep everybody's luggage. I'll go right now. Say, there's a listener has a question. In fact, it's about a wine that I haven't had for years. I was at an Italian restaurant many years ago, which is closed now. And I had a glass, maybe it was a bottle, of Verdicchio. Tell us about that. What is that about?
Well, Verdicchio is a white wine. And, you know, definitely not the weather for Verdicchio. It's a lighter style wine, very similar to, say, a Sauvignon Blanc. You don't see a lot of that being imported into the United States. There are very good there's several examples out there of that particular wine. But it's, again, a very crisp, it's a very acidic wine where, you know, let's say fast forward 6 months, we're in the middle of June, July, August. It's nice and hot out. You put a lovely chill on that Verdicchio, and it's a crisp wine. So if you're having salads, seafood, things of that nature, a great little fun, crisp bottle of wine. Or, you know, if you are holed up with all this cold and you do have a bottle of Verdicchio, it doesn't hurt to chill that and sit there and look out the window and imagine that you are on the deck eating some lovely shrimp and things like that. And just let your mind take you away because, you know, it is wicked cold. But that's half the fun being Minnesotans. We know how to survive that. But it's a light, crisp white wine, similar to a Sauvignon Blanc, maybe a little bit more higher acidic structure. But nonetheless, a fun wine, a great aperitif one to start out an affair with as far as, you know, getting people started when they come in. But generally, I would kind of say that's something that you want to do when it's a lot warmer, just because it's a light style white wine.
You know, it was several years ago, on a couple of occasions, I did a little research on my my Swiss Italian great grandmother, who was from a city called Lugano in Switzerland. And you know, I've often wondered, and I remember having some wine while I was there, but and geographically, we're kind of talking about a similar region. What does Switzerland have some good wine? I don't recall.
They do. They make very, very good wines, known almost more or less for their white wines. The very difficult thing about the Swiss wine, historically speaking, is that they were 10 to 20% more expensive than, let's say, other wines that you maybe have heard of, especially compared to, say, some of the German wines. So it was never a very marketable country as far as the pricing structure was always a little bit off, where if you have a lovely little wine, whether it's from Germany, whether it's from Italy, let's say in the $10 to $12, maybe even $14 range, usually the Swiss wines were double that. So, you know, that's the hardest part with those Swiss wines is the simple fact that it wasn't very marketable due to some price barriers, just a little bit too expensive to really jump in deep in those wines as far as you know, let's say Haskell's purchasing an entire container of or trying to get some added on. It's just very price inhibitive that it wasn't marketable. They were great wines, light style, refreshing. They do make a little bit of red wine, Pinot Noirs, etc. But as a whole, it just wasn't worth it to sit when you kind of put a sharp pencil to it to bring it over and bring it over to the United States. And there also, quite frankly, wasn't a large market for it. A lot of kind of sweeter wines like Rieslings, even Gewurztraminers, are kind of on the downturn. A lot of people don't seem to be enjoying the German wines, especially for whatever reason. I don't know, but just people have gravitated away from them. You know, a long time with the heritage of Minnesota, we used to just go through containers, which was about 1,000 cases of wine. We'd go through 3-4 containers of German wine a year because we had the population. We had the people who recognized what a Dornfelder was or Pete Porter Mickelsberg because maybe their family was from Pete Porter. So they would do that. But recently, though, a lot of those kind of, say, sweeter or higher residual sugar white wines have really gone out of favor. For what reason, I really don't know, Denny.
Well, getting back to the Piedmont region that you were talking about, and I'm thinking if someone wanted some pasta dish with some real good, heavy, maybe a little spicy meat sauce, those would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, but those would be great. But these, again, these wines from the Piedmont region would hit that stuff right on the spot, because this, the Barolo and the Nebbiolo grape in the Barolo, the Barbaresco, they're aged so well that they just hit the spot. And again, you could also try a little Barbera d'Alba. It's a little bit softer and rounder, but that great meat sauce, that especially one, we have all day today to maybe put that piece of meat in a pot and let it simmer all day long. So later on at about 5 or 6 o'clock, it's just tender as my heart. Just delicious things to put on the plate and enjoy it, and really kind of, again, stock up the insides to fight off all this cold. But those wines would just be terrific. On a day like today, you'd sit outside, or whether you do a risotto, whether you do a nice big heavy pasta dish, there's just something to stick to your ribs. You look out, you see how cold it is, maybe even venture outside and see how much cold you can put up with. But then once you come inside, the satisfaction of having a lovely warm meal like that and a great glass of wine just can't be beat.
Absolutely. Sounds wonderful. Very inviting. I tell you what, you go to any Haskell's location and they will help you out.
You're correct, Jenny. We can't make the meal for you, but we can definitely make the wines for you, get the wines in your hands and make it an enjoyable day. Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of all your needs. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekend. Haskell's in Minnetonka, Haskell's out in Highland Park Village. We also have a Haskell's in Bloomington down south, Haskell's in downtown Excelsior. If you're out east, you can go to Haskell's White Bear Lake or all the way out west east to Stillwater. Haskell's right there. We have a Haskell's down in Faribault right off of 35. There's a Haskell's over in Plymouth, and not to be missed is our supercell up in Haskell's Maple Grove. And if you can't hit any of those places and it's too cold for you to go outside, stop by Haskell's.com 24/7, place your order, and we'll take care of it and get it in your hands.
Absolutely. Always good. Ted, thank you so much. Stay warm out there, and let's get together next Saturday.
I look forward to that, Denny.
Thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.